This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Since You Asked is a specialty show that includes articles and columns on advice, commentary, and opinion. This program is funded by the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind. Views expressed in this program are those of the authors or publications and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Audio Journal, its board of directors, staff, or its volunteer readers. My name is Alita, and I am your volunteer reader. We will start today with the Ask Well column from the New York Times. This one dated July 28, 2026, by Marlene Kimmins. Is it okay to eat the same things every day? Some people do it to lose weight, others to avoid the hassle of planning meals. We asked experts how food monotony affects your health. Question. I eat the same foods every day. Is that bad for my health? Answer. Eating one or more of the same meals every day, a practice often called food monotony, can be an efficient way to simplify your daily routine, manage your weight, and eliminate the decision fatigue that can result from having to plan menus, shop, and cook. But there can also be a downside, including a risk of nutritional deficiencies if your daily meal consists mostly of ultra-processed foods or high-fat, salty, or sugary snacks instead of healthy, wholesome foods, nutrition experts say. I can think of worse things than eating the same meal over and over again if it's balanced and healthy, said Marion Nessel, a professor emerita of nutrition, food studies, and public health at New York University. By balance, nutrition experts mean meals that include a protein, a carbohydrate, and a healthy fat, making them nutrient-dense, said Julia Zampano, a registered dietitian at the Cleveland Clinic, even if you are adamant about eating the same foods every day. The balance is important, she added. For example, a daily breakfast of yogurt or oatmeal with fresh fruit is healthier than bacon, eggs, and hash browns, said Dr. Donald Hensrud, an associate professor of nutrition and preventive medicine at the Mayo Clinic College of Medicine. And a lunchtime salad with olive oil and vinegar is better than eating a ham sandwich on white bread. Processed meats are tied to an increased risk of heart disease, stroke, and certain cancers, and white bread contains little beneficial fiber. For dinner, grilled chicken or fish every night with vegetables and brown rice beats a burger and fries, Dr. Hensrud said. Look to healthy diets such as the Mediterranean or DASH diets, and make your choices from them, he said. Why would someone eat the same foods every day? Sometimes it's simply because they prefer those foods. It may be nothing more complicated than that, Dr. Nessel said. Others use repetitive eating as a way to lose or control weight. One recent study by Drexel University researchers found that adults who ate the same meals every day lost more weight over 12 weeks than those who followed a more varied diet. With repetitive eating, you don't have to count calories, Dr. Hensrud said. Increasing your food choices, such as eating at a buffet, usually increases calories. Decision fatigue is another factor. It can be tiring to constantly create menus, shop, and cook. Decision fatigue is real, especially if you are planning meals for others, Ms. Zampano said. To keep your diet healthy, some experts recommend that you add a little variety to your meal. If you have blueberries in your yogurt one morning, have strawberries or a banana the next, or mix in some oats or nuts, Dr. Hensrud said. Have spinach one night and carrots the next. Ms. Zampano added that if you always have a sandwich for lunch, you can build off that concept but still add variety. Have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich one day and grilled cheese or turkey the next, she said. But don't eat too much of a single food, which could lead to excessive exposure to harmful substances, like mercury in fish, for example, or to nutrients considered unhealthy in large amounts, like salt or saturated fats. And don't sacrifice healthy foods for variety. Healthy always beats variety, Dr. Hensrud said. Can I repeat all three meals every day? Ms. Zampano said, maybe not. Eating one or two different meals every day helps avoid nutrient and vitamin deficiencies, she said. Your microbiome likes a lot of diversity. A 2022 study suggested that breakfast is a meal most people are likely to repeat. The first meal of the day tends to be more functional or utilitarian than social, in part because people often need to get to work or school, and it's easy to eat the same breakfast every day, said Carrie Morwedge, a professor of marketing at Boston University and one of the study's authors. As the day goes on, though, people are likely to seek more food variety and dining social interaction, he said. A meal at breakfast is a step in your morning on your way to doing other things, a box to check, a means to an end, Dr. Morwedge said, whereas lunch and dinner are an end, not a means to some other goal. Dr. Morwedge said that his breakfast, a smoothie of vanilla protein powder, a banana, spinach, and avocado, has been the same for several years and that he hasn't tired of it. Dr. Nessel says she also eats the same breakfast every morning, although she varies her lunches and dinners. She has a bowl of shredded wheat with a teaspoon of sugar and skim milk topped with blueberries or strawberries that she grows on her terrace. It's simple, she said. I like the texture. It's crunchy. And it's a great way to start the day. Next, from the July 29th, 2026 New York Times, Social Cues. Was I wrong to repeat a sensitive conversation I overheard in childhood? By Philip Galanis. When I was a teenager, my mother gave birth to twins. Sometime later, I overheard my parents arguing and my father questioning whether the twins were his. I kept this information to myself for more than 60 years. Recently, I had dinner with the twins, and they pleaded with me to tell them what I knew. I repeated the conversation that I had overheard, and I agreed to join them for DNA testing, which showed that our biological fathers were different. The twins are at ease. They say this information does not diminish their feelings for our father, who loved them and raised them as his own. But another sibling is angry with me. She says that I shouldn't have revealed what I heard. Was I wrong? Signed, brother. At first I thought, this was not your story to tell. You were not a party to the private conversation between husband and wife that you overheard as a teenager, nor did you have any knowledge of the twins' paternity. You don't mention whether they investigated this subject before. But it seems unlikely to me that this would be the first time it ever arose, 60 years later. Still, if I have done the math correctly, the twins are in their 60s and you are in your mid-70s. I assume that your parents have passed away. So the best sources of information are unavailable to the twins. If my brothers came to me, pleading to know something that I alone could tell them, I would probably have done the same thing as you did. It was perhaps the least bad of your bad options. Now, as for your sibling who is upset, I can also understand where she may be coming from. Your mother chose not to share the paternity of the twins with them, and her decision deserves some respect. At the same time, we are entitled to know where we come from. And you could have taken a DNA test with the twins at any time. For the future, though, consider whether you are the best person to share sensitive information with others. If not, send them to the person whose story it is to tell. Relationship repair hits a bump. My 31-year-old daughter is 5 months pregnant with her first child. She and her husband are over the moon, and I couldn't be happier for them. My daughter embraces her pregnancy by wearing clothes that leave her belly exposed. She believes that her pregnant body is beautiful. But I was raised with different standards of modesty and decorum. Seeing her dressed like this makes me uncomfortable, and I struggle not to react. Our relationship has been difficult, but we both have been in therapy and made progress in our communication. So far, I have kept my feelings to myself. Should I tell her how uncomfortable I am? Signed, Mom. To this outsider, your therapy seems to have been worth its weight in gold. You acknowledge that you and your daughter came of age at different times and were taught different lessons about your bodies. You learn to keep yours under wraps, and your daughter feels entitled to exhibit the joy of her pregnancy. I think you have been wise not to police the wardrobe of an adult woman or to raise any concern about it. Given your difficult history and the great potential for misunderstanding here, it is better to avoid this topic with her. That's what your friends are for. I know it can be hard to keep our feelings to ourselves, but I believe that you are on the right track, and your improved relationship with your daughter is proof of it. Hell is other people's audio. Is it rude to watch videos in waiting rooms with the sound on and no headphones? I have been encountering this phenomenon with children and adults lately. It seems incredibly inconsiderate to subject others to their noise. Have the rules around this changed? Signed, M.K. It's not just waiting rooms. I was recently on a hiking trail and heard Taylor Swift blaring from another hiker's phone. Any public space now can become a noisy hellscape. Waiting rooms, trains, buses, restaurants. And it's not just videos. I hear loud phone calls on speaker, music booming, and video games beeping. The ubiquity of smart devices probably plays a role here, but the selfishness required to inflict one's personal entertainment on others is incomprehensible to me. Ask your neighbors in the waiting room to use headphones. If they refuse, complain to the people at the front desk. Go ahead. Text stop to quit. Over the years, I have donated to various political candidates, and my contact information has been shared with other campaigns across the country. While I support the stances of these politicians, I feel exhausted by the volume of emails I receive. I could unsubscribe from these lists, but I would hate to discourage the candidates. Still, I have no intention of donating to faraway campaigns. Advice? Signed, voter. Political candidates build their mailing lists with contact information from political parties, data vendors, and voter rolls. Opting out of mass emails is not likely to discourage candidates, because they will probably be totally unaware of your action. So unsubscribe and stave off exhaustion for another day. Moving on to the July 26th, 2026 Boston Globe, Love Letters by Meredith Goldstein. Can I tell my work crush to dump his girlfriend? Question. I have fallen for a coworker. We've known each other for 3 years, and during that time he's confided in me and multiple coworkers, we're all close, about his girlfriend. He and his girlfriend are not doing well. He has wanted to break up with her for quite a long time, but she's not accepting that. They live together and she isn't really listening. She just pulls him back in and won't allow him to actually go through with the breakup. That's been difficult on its own, but I also found out recently that he does have feelings for me. The question is, should I be lighting a fire under him through advice to get this breakup over with? Or should I say, I can't be spending time with you because you're in a situation? I don't know if it's my place to put pressure on him or to give advice. Signed, Pressure. From Meredith. Don't be part of a cheat, obviously. You can be honest, but then maintain boundaries. Try something like, I can't give you advice because I have a vested interest in the outcome here. I've developed feelings for you, and if you were single, I'd be happy to ask you out on a date to see where it leads. If you want platonic advice, you won't get it from me, and maybe for my sanity, we should keep some distance so things don't get confusing, because you're still in a relationship. That says it all, right? It would be great to get it out on the table, but after that, the ball's in his court. At that point, it's all about maintaining those boundaries. Remember, even if he moves out, that's great, but he may need space to adjust his life without his ex. If he doesn't break up with this woman, or waits many months to do so, you don't need to stick around. Work friendships can be maintained, but he doesn't have to be the center of that experience. From the readers. He has wanted to break up with her for quite a long time, but she's not accepting that. They live together and she really isn't listening. Sure. Look, the dude isn't being held hostage. If he has freedom to go to work, he has freedom to move out. Let's be serious here. He's making this up, and you're falling for his woe is me, she won't listen to me. When an adult is ready to leave a relationship, the other person doesn't need to listen. They just end the relationship immediately and leave. Don't ignore the fact that we don't know the lease situation. It may not be as simple as the guy should just move out. Besides having to continue paying rent, he might have to do first month, last month security deposit on a new place. For most people, especially younger ones, this could be very difficult. He's not married, and he has had 3 years to ask you out. It's a dead end. Should I say, I can't be spending time with you because you're in a situation? This. Never lose sight of the fact that you're only hearing his side of the story. And what he's telling you may not even be true. It's possible that he's making all of this up to get you to sleep with him, and he has no intention of ever breaking up with his girlfriend, and she has no idea he feels this way, if he's even telling you the truth. I don't know if it's my place to put pressure on him or give advice. How about neither? He is an adult. Do you really want to create a toxic environment where you work, spend 40 hours a week? There are 4 billion other dudes on the planet, and most of them don't have living girlfriends. Join a dating app and pick one. Moving now to the July 27th, 2026 Washington Post, Carolyn Hacks. Tell in-law with memory issues she forgot her grandkids' birthdays? Dear Carolyn, My mother-in-law is a sweet, quiet woman who has begun to have some memory issues. We live far from her and see her once or twice a year. For the last 2 years, she has forgotten my twin son's birthdays. They are 10. My kids don't need gifts, but it makes me sad that they don't even hear from her. I know that if she realized she had forgotten, she would be sad and embarrassed. Should I say anything to her, or just let it lie? Signed, Forgotten. Forgotten. Contact her before the birthday every year, and before every other milestone she would want to mark, to help her figure out what they'd like. Obviously, it's a memory prompt and an excuse to check in. It's the kind thing for all involved. If she has already missed it this year, then sure, let it lie, because you're the one who's sad, right? If the boys are sad, then put them in touch with their grandmother, but regularly, not just for their birthdays. Because really, who cares about a birthday? The point is for them to have a relationship with their grandmother, isn't it? The issue here is not, where's the once-a-year perfunctory contact for my children on an arbitrary day, but how can I make sure that this sweet, quiet woman who raised my spouse and who now lives far away isn't completely detached from her child's family as she slips into memory loss? If she is the one holding herself apart, then I'll merge safely back into my lane. But the sad and embarrassed prediction says she does care, and nothing about the letter suggests her relationship with the spouse is broken. Re-forgotten from a reader. If this is a woman who always remembered without fail, then take it as a warning sign that things will degrade from here. Take it from someone who has gone through this with two beloved family members within the last couple of years. Assuming this relationship is important, not just to your kids, but to you and your spouse, make more time for it. Increase contact, increase visits, make memories while you can. From Carolyn, yes, thanks. I don't think there's an if, though. There are signs of memory loss, so that is the warning sign that things will degrade from here. Unless the spouse intends to have zero involvement in the mother's care plans and well-being, which would be pretty unusual, this couple needs to look down that road now and start preparing. Other readers' thoughts. If the only reason you think Grandma is in cognitive decline is because she forgot your kids' birthdays, then get over yourself. At my age, I do well to remember my own birthday. And if Grandma is indeed in cognitive decline, there's a lot more to worry about than her memory of your kids' birthdays. Also, you can facilitate your kids reaching out to their grandmother on their birthday, too. It was not until I became a mother myself that I fully realized my birthday was actually a pretty big deal for my mom. I mean, she did a lot of work that day, and I don't even remember it. So if Grandma forgets to call, then go ahead and call her. Be warm and wonderful and do a video call if she can work that technology. Hi, Nana. It's Sally's birthday, and we want to say we love you on this special day. No reason to put pressure on your mother-in-law's cognitive decline to do something you can easily do with the same result. And from the July 29th, 2026 Washington Post, Miss Manners by Judith Martin, Nicholas Martin, and Jacobina Martin. Dear Miss Manners, I would like to invite a new friend to dinner at my house, but I haven't yet because I'm nervous that my chairs might not support him. I saw a dining chair collapse under a guest at my mother's house once, and the image really stuck with me. My new friend is a mountain of a man, over 6'6" and burly. I have heard him mention things that are too small for him, like seats in a certain theater. Apart from replacing my dining chairs, is there a polite way to approach this? Gentle reader, the situation you are dreading is novel for you, but it is very familiar for him. Find or acquire at least one chair that you are sure will accommodate him, and when the time comes, say at the outset that you think he might be most comfortable in this location. Miss Manners thinks she hardly needs add that this must be done gracefully, drawing as little attention as possible to what you are doing. Your friend will understand and be as grateful for your gracefulness as for making him comfortable. And that's it for today. You have been listening to articles and advice columns from our program, Since You Asked. This show is a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you would like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. This is Alita. I'll be with you again next week. Thank you for listening.
This is Bird Note. Today is International Owl Awareness Day. Owls are magnificent animals that share our cities with us, like great horned owls, and live in some of the most extreme environments on Earth, like snowy owls on the Arctic tundra. They range in size from huge, like the Blakiston's fish owl of Eastern Asia, to the songbird-sized elf owl of Mexico and the Southwest U.S., less than 6 inches tall and weighing less than half a deck of cards. Owls play key roles in their ecosystems. They keep prey populations of rodents and insects in check, which in turn helps promote a healthy balance of the species eaten by those animals. Owls even help control pests like non-native rodents where people live, all without traps or poison. And they lend their music to our nights. By giving these amazing birds their space when they're nesting, preserving habitats where they breed and hunt, and avoiding rodenticides that could poison their prey, we can help ensure a safe future for our world's incredible owls. For Bird Note, I'm Ariana Rimmel.
This is not a public service announcement. This is a one-minute mystery.
Sam Sham and his wife Sandy waited in their driveway for an opening in the heavy traffic.
"It's like this every morning," grumbled Sam.
"Don't get uptight," warned Sandy. "You need to watch your ulcer." Spotting an opening, Sam shot into traffic with tires squealing.
"Take it easy," warned Sandy. "What's for dinner tonight?" Sam asked her.
"Reservations," mumbled Sandy, looking out her window. Several minutes later, Sam drove through an intersection and crashed into a garbage truck. He flew through the windshield. Sandy, who was unhurt, was hysterical when she called 911. When asked where the accident occurred, Sandy couldn't say. Why not?
And here's the solution to our mystery.
Sandy wasn't anywhere near the scene of the accident. She and Sam had left for work at the same time in different cars. They were talking on their cell phones when the accident occurred.
And now back to our regular programming.